Welcome, library friends, to the Silverton Library Connection podcast, where pages turn, stories unfold, and community bonds grow stronger. I'm your host, Misty Anderson. Join me as we dive into the world of books, explore the heart of our library, and uncover the pulse of our town's happenings. This is the Silverton Library Connection podcast. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Welcome, Silverton Library friends, to another episode of the Silverton Library Connection podcast. I'm your host and library director, Misty Anderson, and I am thrilled that you joined us today. As a parent, this is a very important topic to me, and as a librarian, it is as well. And that is how we cultivate a love for reading in our children. So if you're a parent or a caregiver or a grandparent or aunt and uncle or just someone that loves children, this is going to be a great episode for you. A lot of people come in and they have kids and they ask me, you know, my child doesn't really like to read that much. Like, what can I do? I get that question a lot. And I've come up with 12 different pieces of advice that I think are very important when you build a reader and you build someone to love reading. And when I say build, it's because all of this is such an investment into our children. And reading takes time and it takes dedication and it takes awareness of doing it. And so to do all of that for years and years and years and years can seem like a really daunting task. And so I came up with some very simple solutions, in my opinion, for you to work with your children. And one of the very first pieces of advice I give to everyone, and so if your kid's 12 and you're listening to this, this probably isn't going to help you, but if you're about to have a baby or you know someone about to have a baby, starting early, even in the third trimester, promotes healthy brain development and lays that real foundation for language and writing skills. So let's say, you know, you have a friend that is big and pregnant and you see her reading and she's reading out loud. So many people are starting to understand the benefits of not only language, but the bonding of the babies. Studies show that third trimester babies not only hear, but they also recognize the sounds of their mother's voice. And so if you're reading, you know, whatever you're reading out loud, your child is going to hear that. And so it starts as early as the womb. But infants are, it's a very important for their brain development to have those books available to them and stories being read to them or told to them. So starting early is the number one thing I would tell people. Making reading a part of your daily routine is number two. So establishing a routine that helps ensure that reading is a part of your daily schedule, so such as nap time or bedtime. It also creates times during the day that both of you can look forward to, which I love. So for us, we are a read at night family. And when we read together, that's usually when we read. However, my children will read throughout the day because they've been exposed to it and they've established that routine and gotten more into it. And so just like working out or anything that we do where we want to establish a routine, reading is no different. And so that goes for, you know, you, if you're going to want to read more to show your kids you're reading, you need, as the adult and parent, need to make reading a part of your daily routine. So not only is important to make it a part of your child's routine, it's a part of your routine as well. The third thing is trying board and cloth books for babies. So by age one, babies can grab books. Okay. So, you know, the board books, they're like the hard ones, and then they make the cloth books. I also personally love bath books. So if you look in bookstores, you can find these little like squeaky bath books, and babies are very engaged when they're just sitting in the tub, and that's a beautiful time to read. I did a lot of reading when my kids were little in the bathtub. And so board books are wonderful too, because they can't tear them up, but they can grab them, they can look at pictures. And so
You can get board books at the library. You can, of course, purchase board books. But I know, like, people who are about to have children, a really great gift, if you're wanting to gift someone, is board, cloth, and bath books, because they're going to get a lot of stuff they don't need. But at the end of the day, the books usually stick around and they serve a purpose for a really long time. So really great gifts. And, you know, babies at that love at that age love to grab and hold and carry, and they can do that with those books. So let's talk a little bit about toddlers, taking turns with your toddlers. So by age two, toddlers can hold a book and they can point at pictures, right? So let your toddler turn the pages of the board book, and you respond to her when she points or reacts to the story. So you're kind of engaging a little more instead of just reading the book. You're kind of narrating along the way, like, what do you see? And she says, you know, cow. And you say, yes, cow. What does the cow sound make? You know, moo. So involving your children and pointing at things and taking turns with your toddler is really helpful. And that brings me to point number five, and that's asking your children questions. So as you read to your child, make the experience like interactive. So you're going to ask them questions like, what do you think will happen next? Or at the end, what was your favorite part of the story? Why? And these questions, they can start as young as age two, and these can go all the way up to your advanced readers. You know, my oldest just finished Harry Potter, and I love Harry Potter. And so as she was reading, I was asking her questions about her experience. And what you'll find is, and this is with me too, if you get someone talking about a book that they're interested in, you kind of learn more about that person. They learn something from themselves by having to verbalize it. And you start to find out, like, what really makes your child interested in a book. And once you find out that, then you can kind of tailor your selections for books based on what they're really interested in. Because at this age, you're really trying to ignite that passion, right? You want them to have a love for it. And so that brings me to point number six, and that is rereading your child's favorite books. So by age three, children can complete sentences in familiar stories. So you've probably around this age, if you're a mom of a three-year-old, you have read, you know, Llama Llama, No Drama 15 million times. That's what I felt like when my kids were that age. And I used to be like, holy cow, like, don't you want to read another book? But what I've found through research and knowing what I know today is that reading her favorite books over and over and over helped her learn through repetition. Right? So she's doing, both my daughters, to be honest, would read these books over and over and over, and they would get these stories down so pat that they were learning through the process of repetition. And so around this age, if you're a parent out there and you're like, my gosh, I cannot read this, you know, book again, just remember that's a part of their learning and their brain development with reading. So when you're reading along, so by age four, so we're moving up in age, children can recognize letters, and pointing out similar words in books is really helpful for them. So you can point out words in a book that begin with the same letter to your preschooler to help him become familiar with the letter and then be able to associate that word with the letter. So there's lots of ways around the age of four, because they learn letter recognition, that you can start to help them with those sight words, right? Like just the and it, they can pick up on those and they will find those through different books. And so pointing out similar words is a really great practice with a preschooler. The next thing I want to talk about is counting objects on the page. So I have been doing this forever. I actually did this with my babies as well. But as you read to your child, count objects on the page together. This is going to strengthen their early math skills. So now you know, you're working on your literacy and everything like that. This is a way for you to bring in for your preschoolers some math skills. And all books have something you can count in them. So counting objects on a page is a really good way to connect your little reader with the book. Have your preschoolers tell you the story. So by age 5, children can sit still for longer books and they can create their own stories based on the pictures. So what I would encourage you to do is ask your preschooler to tell you the basic plot of the book. So what happened? And then make up stories based on what he sees on each page. So let's say you have a new book that you've just got and you haven't read this book before. You checked it out at the library, you've taken it home, and you open it up. Instead of reading the book together, let your 5-year-old lead you through the book, telling you a story using the pictures. Not only is this going to help their literacy, it's going to increase their imagination. And, you know, with kids, the more imagination is a more like use it or lose it kind of thing. And so that's why we want to ultimately keep kids away from the screens and more into books, is because they can continue to grow and use that imagination and foster it, which is going to help them in later ages. This is something that is really important to me. So I only have 3 more, but in my opinion, the last 3 of these tools are the most important thing for igniting passion in your reader. And that the number 10 is reading with passion. Using inflection, maintaining the same highs and lows in your voice and the same point in the story will help your children to remember the words. So, you know, if you've got like a little old lady voice or a big scary monster voice, or you're talking really fast and you're do-do-do-do-do-do, there's many different ways that you can engage your children. And when they hear passion, it's going to ignite for them. Think about you, like you put an audiobook on, and what if the audiobook person was like, "Welcome to the audiobook. Today we're going to be reading." How bored would you be versus someone that comes on is like, "It was a dark and scary night. The wind was howling." Like, of course, you're going to be more into it because you're using inflection and you've got highs and lows in there. So read with passion to your little people. Big or little, passion matters. Number 11, as a parent, this is probably the biggest thing. Set an example. So those people that come into the library and they ask me, "Hey, my kid's really struggling with reading and I really want to help them. What can I do?" One of the first things I say to these people is, "Are you a reader?" And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no. And I say, "Well, can you tell me a little bit about your reading habits?" And they're like, "Well, I usually read at night, like before I fall asleep, or, you know, I love to read on vacation." And I'm like, "Okay, do you ever, on a Tuesday that everyone's out of school at 2 p.m., sit down on the couch and read a book?" "Oh, no. No, I don't do that." Setting an example as a reader is so important. Let your children see you reading books to help them develop their own love of reading. I read all the time. Of course, I'm an avid reader. I read at home. I read at work. I read while I'm driving because I'm listening to an audiobook. I'm always immersed in a story, and my kids know that. And I literally did nothing more than the things I'm telling you today. I read to them, I read with passion, I let them be involved. Those are the things. But as a parent, the one thing that you can truly control is setting an example. So get your books out, start reading at different times that you wouldn't normally read. In the, you know, that the witching hour, the 5 to 7, like before everybody's settled down and the kids are nuts and all that stuff. What if you could read from 5 to 5:30 on the couch and they could see you amongst the chaos, amongst the homework, amongst everyone else doing their thing? What if you stepped aside and sat on the couch for 20 or 30 minutes and read your book? What do you think that would do for your kids? Now, I'm not saying like let them run willy-nilly and destroy the house. I mean, if everybody's like taken care of and things are settled and you have a moment to sit down. Instead of turning on the television, let's get out a book. Let's teach a kid to put down the remote and pick up a book. So be an example for your children. The very last piece of advice I have, and it probably seems really easy, is just keep reading. Reading to your kid helps them develop a habit of listening to stories and loving them. One of the most important pieces of advice is to make sure you are reading to them often and early. I know that sometimes it happens to us. We get really busy. We look up, it's 8 p.m. We haven't done any of the things we need to do to get ready for bed. And one of the first things to go is, sorry, we can't read for 30 minutes tonight together. And so we have to make that a big priority. I have to say, okay, guys, at 7:30, we're shutting everything down. At 7:30 to 8 is when we do our reading. And that's up to me. And that keeps them reading, right? And so just keep reading to them. And the last thing I'll leave you with is something that I feel is very important as a parent and a librarian. And that is reading is reading. Whatever your kid is reading, please let them read it. Of course, if it's safe material. But I hear a lot of people come in. Graphic novels are extremely popular for kids right now. They are the fastest growing genre of books available. A lot of parents come in here and I hear them say, "Oh, let's get a chapter book. That's a comic book." I want parents to put this out of their head right now. It's not Archie and Jughead anymore. Graphic novels have meaningful stories and they are reading. So let your kids read what they want to read. My kids fell in love with reading through graphic novels. And I had a librarian share with this with me about 7 years ago when I was the lady in the library that said, "Let's get you a chapter book instead because graphic novels are more like comic books." And she walked over to me and she very politely told me what I just told you. Reading is reading. Let your children read the stories they want to read because you don't know what is going to ignite that passion for your child. And if it's a story in a particular graphic novel that they grab onto, they're going to read it and they're going to feel great and they're going to gain confidence and they're going to get better at it. And then before you know it, they're going to pick up one of those chapter books for fun that you didn't expect them to read. But they need confidence to jump over to that chapter book. So just keep reading and let them read. They're my last two pieces of advice for everyone. I am extremely passionate about this topic because literacy in America is a tough thing. Kids get left behind. Kids don't feel good about their reading skills, which makes me feel awful. And so finding a way to kind of meet them where they're at, and if that is you reading to them, then that's where you meet them. I hope as all the parents, caregivers, loved ones out there took something special away from this episode, start them early and keep reading. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you next time. Happy reading, friends.